that Rod used to lead the church, actually planted this church here. And it's really good that he's come back and he's going to be finishing off our series that we've been looking at on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So this is the last one, Rod. You're taking us out with this one.
Thank you, Denise. Oh, it's good to be back with you all again. And today we're talking about tongues and interpretation. I want to say, first of all, my testimony about this. I became a Christian when I was 14 in Worthing Assembly Hall. It was a relay service of Billy Graham from Haringey, and I gave my life to Christ, and it was totally changed. Changed in what way, you may say? Surely at 14 you hadn't lived very much, and I hadn't done a lot of things wrong. But when I left that assembly hall, I knew God. I didn't need people to tell me what I'd done. I knew Jesus as a living friend. And then 4 years later, when I was working for Barclays Bank, a friend of mine asked me to go to a meeting at his house when somebody was going to talk upon the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I went along and listened to this man and thought, cool, that's really good. I need that. And so I was prayed for, and I knew something had happened. I didn't know what, but I knew something had happened. And so the next day, when it was my lunch hour at the bank in Brighton, instead of going and having lunch, I went to a local church and spent the time in prayer with God and felt his presence so close. Then I came away, got in the lift to go upstairs to where I was working, and I felt compelled to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your living presence. Thank you for your power. Thank you for everything. And as I began, I suddenly realized that I didn't understand a word I was saying. I was speaking in what the Bible calls other tongues or other languages. And I was speaking this to God. And I like to think it was amazing. I was going up in a lift. So that is my testimony. What I have to say today isn't simply theory. It comes from an experience of God's truth. And the thing about other languages or speaking in tongues is that they can be either angelic or earthly. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1, Paul says, though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, it doesn't profit me anything. Even though I speak in the tongues of men, earthly known languages, or I speak in the tongues of angels, a heavenly language, love is the most important thing. And what I want to say this morning is simply this: that speaking in tongues has an importance both individually and publicly, or publicly in the gathering of the church. And there are two ways, therefore, that tongues can be expressed: privately in our own devotion and prayer life, and then also publicly within the church. And we will look at both. Now, I want you to understand that there is not necessarily a sign that one has been filled with the Holy Spirit because they speak in tongues. Now, on the day of Pentecost, they all, 120 disciples of Jesus, were filled with the Holy Spirit and spake in other languages. And the people that were listening recognized those languages, and that was earthly languages. And they said, "We hear them speak the wonderful works of God." They were speaking praise unto the Father. And then, when you come to Cornelius, the Roman centurion that invited Peter to his house, it says that as Peter spoke, the Holy Spirit came upon the Gentiles and they spoke in other languages, or they spoke in tongues. Then in Acts chapter 19, that was in Acts 10. In Acts chapter 19, Paul goes down to Ephesus and he finds a group of people. He preaches to them and he says, "What were you baptized in?" And they said, "Water." And he told them about baptism in the Spirit. And as they received that baptism in the Spirit, they spoke in tongues. But a lot of people in the book of Acts were filled with the Spirit, and it doesn't say they spoke in tongues. It's a bit like me going and spending an hour or close to an hour in prayer in a church with the presence of God so real, and yet I didn't speak in tongues until I got back into the lift. And then I felt I wanted to do something. I wanted to speak of his praise. And I found myself talking in a foreign language. Now, when I was in Manchester on one occasion, I was with I call him a young man simply because he was younger than me. Which wasn't difficult to do. And he used to be in the United States Army, but he was in the intelligence side, and he was a translator of all kinds of languages. He spoke dozens of languages. And we're in this meeting in Manchester, and he suddenly says to me, "Someone began speaking in tongues." And he said, "Where's the Filipino?" So I said, "There aren't any Filipinos here. They're just Manchurians." And he said, No. "Someone is talking in Tagalog," excuse me if I'm pronouncing it wrong, "which is the main language of the Philippines. Someone is speaking in that, and I know what they're saying." And of course, there wasn't a Filipino anywhere to be seen in the whole place. Someone had stood up, spoken a message from the Lord in a foreign language. Even they didn't know what they were saying until the interpretation came. And the interpretation didn't come from my friend, who actually said, "They've got it essentially right." See, tongues of men and of angels. But there's not necessarily, although there is plenty of evidence in the New Testament, that when a person was baptized in the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. But there is also a few occasions when people were baptized in the Holy Spirit and did not speak in tongues. It came at a later stage. So, what's the purpose of speaking in a language you've never learnt privately? Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. And that word edifies is from the word that we get edifice from. In other words, he that speaks in an unknown tongue builds up himself, makes himself strong, draws him close to God. Now, can you draw close to God without speaking in tongues? Yes, you can. But speaking in tongues is a major help to becoming strong in your Christian life, strong in your walk with God. And so Paul says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, this is privately now, builds up himself, makes himself strong, makes him feel part of the family of God, no matter what he's going through. And I have discovered that in those times when everything seems to apparently go wrong, speak in your language of prayer that even you don't know what you're saying, and somehow you become strong in the difficulty, in the trial, in the hard time. Secondly, privately, to speak in tongues helps us to praise God well. As I said, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 and verse 11, they said, how do we hear all these people speaking of the wonderful works of God? Tongues is a means of an outpouring of our souls to God in praise. Have you ever thought, I just want to praise God, but my English doesn't seem quite good enough. It doesn't seem to be quite expansive enough for the God that I'm standing before and worshipping? Well, if and when that happens, try speaking in tongues and see what happens. Something stirs in the depths of your spirit. Something stirs that enables you to break free, if you like. Even though you don't know what you're saying, there's a breaking free into the praise and the glory of God. And then finally, it helps us to pray according to God's will. See, sometimes we don't know how to pray or what to pray for. Do you pray as my wife sometimes does, for Putin to die in the night? Or do you pray for the bombing to stop? How do we pray? What do we pray for? There are so many things going on in Ukraine. What do we pray for? Well, let me read to you a verse from Romans 8 and verse 26. And this is what Paul says. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Now, if you want to look up what that really means, let me recommend a wonderful book to you. It's called God's Empowering Presence, and it's written by Gordon Fee, who is a very well-known theological professor in Canada, and he makes a wonderful, wonderful explanation of this verse and says it can only mean that we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But when we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit intercedes through us according to the will of God. See, there are many times when we don't know what to pray for, how to pray. Is it God's will for this to happen, or is it not? And it's not simply a question of saying at the end of your prayer, "Your will be done, O Lord." Sometimes it's a question of not praying in English, but praying in the language that the Holy Spirit gives us. And we are then praying according to God's will. And obviously, we will see things happen. So, what about publicly? Speaking in tongues when we join together as a church. Well, the first thing is, they've got to be interpreted. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 13 says this: "For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says." And Paul is speaking in the context of a church gathering. Tongues must be interpreted. And if there is no one else there that can stand with the gift of interpretation and speak what has just been said, then Paul puts the onus upon the speaker in tongues. He or she must pray that they interpret what is said. Because later on, he goes on and says that tongues are, if people come in who are unaware, unlearned in speaking in tongues, and everyone's doing it, which was the problem that the Corinthians had, they felt that it was a real thing, a sign of the Holy Spirit to be everyone at the same time speaking in tongues. He said, won't the unlearned or the unbeliever say you're all mad? Well, they probably will. I would, if they were all doing it out loud. But he says, now watch this. This is the whole point. Because if everyone speaks in tongues at the same time, it can become a sign of God's judgment on the unbeliever. Because why? They don't listen. They just shrug their shoulders and say, that's a mad lot there. I'm not going there anymore. And clear off. It's a sign of judgment. But when we interpret a tongue that has been spoken publicly, we are talking to the whole congregation of what God wants to say to them. And secondly, you're never out of control of yourself. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 28 says this. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. You're not out of control. See, people that say, I had to do that because I was so urged of God, I just had to do it. No, you didn't. No, whatever the reason was, it wasn't the Holy Spirit saying, yes, you must. You're not out of control. You're in control of yourself. And in the church, you have the ability to say, I will speak, or I won't speak. And if there's no interpreter present, you say, I'm not going to speak unless God gives to me the interpretation. And lastly, there is a limit on the number of messages that are given in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. Three at a time, at the most, and someone must interpret. Now there is a difference when believers come together and there is a time of praise and worship and there are no unbelievers present and those believers want to worship God by just having a time, audibly or silently or quietly, of praising God together in tongues. That is different to what Paul is saying. He's saying when the church gathers together and there are unbelievers present, or people who don't understand are present, two or at the most three should speak in tongues and somebody must interpret, even if that person is the one who has brought the message. Now, going back to the Manchester scene, and my friend saying, who's the Filipino here? And now I'm saying, there isn't one. Well, someone's talking in the main language of the Philippines. And I know what they're saying, and the interpretation comes, and it's right. Another friend of mine is in a big meeting in Sweden, and somebody speaks in an unknown tongue, and no one interprets. And my friend, who's on the platform, he's the guest speaker, says to the pastor next to him, someone needs to interpret that tongue. We need to wait for it to be interpreted. And the pastor says, I know the language. And what that person is saying, and this is true, what that person is saying is simply this. I scream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream. Will they think you're mad? Yes, they will. Is there a place for it to happen? Yes, there is. And it happens in our hearts as we walk with God and as we draw close to Him and as we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's a place in private and there's a place publicly. And there's a place together at times when believers alone are one and together to speak in tongues to the glory and the praise and the will of God. So God bless you this morning.